Before we dig into the Bible, we've got some updates to make. We've set on our Embracing Our Future first phase of our building program. The first thing I want to do is actually reintroduce the committee to everyone, just remind everyone who all is on the committee. So, Scott, I'm going a little bit out of order if you want to swap to that. If you are on the building committee, if you would, just go ahead and stand up so everybody can see you. If you're on the building committee, and if you've forgotten that you were on the building committee, the names are right up here. That's Jim Dawson, chairman, Whitney Alexander, Ann Bourne, Matt Jackson, Joan Ray, Bob Russell, Paul Skelton, and then the deacon chairman served as an ex officio member during his tenure as well. That was Rick Galloway, and Brian Harbison served in that capacity as well. This is a hardworking committee, and they're all still friends at the end of the process, or they're lying to me one. So anyway, y'all can be seated. Let's just thank them for their hard work. And I had everybody go ahead and clap and thank y'all for your work, just in case I don't like the plan. That way you can be thanked for your work no matter what. So Jim Dawson is our chairman. Jim, if you would, just come up and share a few words really quick.
Okay, well, first of all, Matt, no one has forgotten that they were on the committee. make that clear right off. First of all, this has been a very long, thought-out process. Over 2 years ago, we began the process of looking at a long-range plan for redoing our facilities and making them more friendly, more usable spaces throughout the church. And this committee that was not mentioned, by the way, was our long-range planning committee. They spent many hours in prayer, many hours meeting with the architect, a lot of thought going to other churches to see what other churches were doing with their facilities and with their ministries. And as a result, then we laid out a plan for the overall renovation of the entire facilities. Realizing that there was no way that we could do all of it at one time, we decided that we would do it in phases. And so the first phase that we looked at, first of all, we put out surveys to everyone in the church, and everyone got to voice their concerns about what they would like to see done in the church, what ministries they felt like needed to be enhanced. And based on those surveys, we took them as a priority based on the number of people who had voiced concerns for the children primarily. That was one of the main concerns. And so we began to look at the children's area. We began to look at what we could do for all ages. I know the elevator was always a big concern because of the fact that it doesn't always work like it should. There were many other areas as well. We wanted a central location to be able to come into the church. We talked about a gathering center. A lot of things went into all these conversations. And at the end, we decided on what would be phase one, and that was brought to the church. I know we had meetings where everyone got to voice their concerns during that period of time. And then after that, we formed the committee, the building committee, which we've been working with that committee now for over a year, and working with the plans, with the architect, developing the plans. We put out information to get certain contractors to look at this project after we got the plans developed. And we had three contractors initially that were going to bid this project. There were a lot of things that started to take place during the process of the plans being developed. We found out, for instance, that as we looked at the foundations for the new elevator, that there was going to be a lot of work there because we were going to have to underpin foundations. There were just a lot of issues that came up, and we'll get into a lot of that tonight, a lot of the details about how we came to this point. At 5 o'clock, I know we're meeting in Fellowship Hall to discuss and let you voice any concerns you have and to better explain what this whole first phase will consist of. But it has really been a challenge, and it's been a lot of prayer that's gone into this. It hasn't been done haphazardly by any means. There's been a lot of discussions with the architects, with the engineers, with the city, with the fire department, and we wanted to make sure that this first phase met the most urgent needs of the church first. Now, that isn't to say that we aren't going to do all of these other things as time goes along, as God provides. I'm sure that we will be able to go forth and have all of the things that we initially planned to be done to the church. But we're just proud that, you know, God has provided us the funds and the means at this point in time, and particularly all of these that were on the committee. I'm so thankful for all of their input and for all of the work, all of the hours that they've spent helping us to come to this point in the process. As I indicated, it's been a long time. I know that getting the contractor on the board, which will be Chase Building Group, that name probably doesn't mean a lot to some of you, but Charlie Wiggins is the owner of Chase. Charlie grew up in this church, as a matter of fact. The Wiggins have been here for many, many years. And so I've also got a nephew that works with Chase, Bart Dawson. So that had nothing to do with our choice. They were the low bidder, and we only ended up getting one bid. One of the other bidders did give us a budget price, which was even higher. And after we got the bid initially, of course, we were planning the gathering center along with everything. The price came in so high that we had to work with Chase, and we have gone back and forth with Chase now about three times, getting them to come forward, letting us reduce the scope, letting us do some value engineering on certain aspects of the project. And we have got it now to a point where we've got the basic needs of phase one within a reasonable cost that we feel like the church can manage without putting the church in debt. And I'm just thankful, you know, that we do have the group that we've got selected to do this project. So after you vote and look at this and talk to us tonight, we will be ready then to sign a contract with Chase, set a time limit, and get the project started. So I'm excited, and I hope that you are too. I know this is going to be a great benefit, particularly for our children, redoing the elevator for all of us that need it, and I'm feeling like I need it a lot more these days. But I'm thankful for all of you and all of the input that you gave us with your surveys, with your charitable contributions toward this program, and for Matt and his leadership throughout this process. So thank you very much.
Well, let's look, though, at some of the details. I want to give you the basic overview of what the plan looks like. And all this information will be available for you in the vestibule here at the end of the service. We'll have sheets with a basic overview of today's presentation. Tonight, there will be even more information available if you'd like to come tonight at 5 for the open Q&A forum. So once again, thanks so much for the building committee for this, and I'm merely presenting the building committee's recommendations here. Well, let's talk then, first of all, about what is included. What is included in what we are proposing for phase one? First thing we see is a children's hall renovation. A children's hall renovation is the first thing that is included. Now, the theme for this children's hall is going to be called First Kids World Village. First Kids World Village. And when we stop and think about why we're calling it that, the reason is that we wanted our mission as a church to be first and foremost in the hearts and minds of our children as they're learning the gospel, as they're learning the Bible, as they come into their space each and every week. We want our mission, the Great Commission, to be first and foremost. So if we look there, there's the small floor plan. What we're getting here are 5 new classrooms, a children's church theater, a resource room, and the World Village theme to remind children of the Great Commission. So you see that there. You can see the theater here at the bottom, and then the classrooms down through there. Now, each of these classrooms, the door leading into the classroom, each will represent a different part of the world to help show children the way this looks. So this is where they'll come in. This will be the check-in desk, and you'll see there immediately to the left, you see the Great Commission there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. That's Matthew 28:19. So that'll be on the wall. As soon as kids come in, one of the first things they see is the Great Commission. Then you see down the hall, down the corridor, each door represents a different part of the world as they go down the hallway. You've got Europe, the Far East, Africa, the Middle East, and then down at the other end, you'll see in a moment, we've got South America as well. This is what we call the Village Station, which is the entrance into the Children's Church worship area. And there's the room that represents South America there to the right. Village Station's meant to look like a train station, just once again carrying out that theme of the idea of traveling different places to take the gospel. Throughout the facility there, we'll have different... This is North America here across the hall there. That's the resource room that represents North America and Australia as well. So you can see the way that this hall is going to give children an immersive experience as soon as they walk into it. But we're able to do this with architectural elements, so we're not having to pay another company to come in and create this theme. We're able to do this. This is what the children's church room will look like. This is not going to be able to be only used for children's church. The other options we have is for Bible studies and things like that. I have a great AV system in there. This will be able to be used throughout the week as well for different Bible studies and things like that. So that's what's included there in our children's hall renovation. The next thing you'll see there is a children's a preschool hall renovation. And that's the next thing we see, a preschool hall remodel. That includes remodeling and giving a total facelift to all the facilities that are there now, redoing the way you enter and exit the preschool area to add security, adding a welcome desk and check-in area for our preschoolers so that we have the highest level of security, and it's a clean, great environment for parents to drop their children off. The next thing we'll see is you also will have an updated, the other thing we'll have is that you'll also have a widening of the interior corridor there through taking some elements out inside so that there's a free flow of space. Be a new kitchenette, it'll look like a totally brand new area there. But at the same time, here and in the children's area, as many walls and as many areas as we could possibly reuse, we're reusing in order to save money, in order to do this in the most cost-effective way possible. Also, the elevator for the sanctuary, the elevator right out here, will be totally refurbished and updated. As you walk into it, it will be a brand new elevator. It will be the user experience will be totally different. Now, one friend of mine gave me a hard time, a deacon gave me a hard time for calling it a user experience. He said, "Who's ever gotten on an elevator and felt like they had a user experience?" And I said, "Why don't you get stuck on it sometime? And you'll know that there is a user experience from time to time on the elevator, as some of our folks know all too well." So that all that will be as if it's a brand new elevator, totally refurbished elevator there. It'll look nice, it'll match the rest of our facilities, and it'll work. And that's what we're most exciting about. Furthermore, I know we're all sad about this, but we're going to be losing the chert pit right here on the other side of the sanctuary. That's going to be paved, and that'll be a brand new parking lot there. That'll be paved and striped. There'll be lighting there. There'll be new handicap parking. There'll be a new sidewalk leading in to the door so that our senior adults and others who need it are able to park in a handicap parking spot, walk right inside and get on the elevator to come up to the sanctuary to go to their Sunday school class. So for people who have accessibility issues, this is going to be a revolution in the way they come to church. Furthermore, each of the areas that are adjacent to the new parking lot will be repaired, resealed, and restriped so that all that parking surface is nice and looks beautiful. Furthermore, there'll be a new sign, a new monument sign, in keeping with the taste and tradition of the church, in the new parking lot at 5th Street, indicating people that this is parking where they can come into First Baptist Church. You can see here, if we'll click one more time, you can see there, that's kind of confusing, and we'll have the plans available tonight. But that kind of gives you an idea of what things are going to look like. The areas around there that are kind of look polka dotted around the sanctuary and everything else, that'll be new sod and landscaping. It's going to be a beautiful way the way that one side of our campus looks beautiful. It's immaculate. And so the other side is going to be able to match that now. So the totality of when you come to First Baptist Church, things are going to look nice. They're going to look welcoming from day one. The other thing we're adding is in the back of this room, in this vestibule back here, in what's now called the deacon's closet, there will be a new bathroom in the vestibule. Now, for us who go here, we know where the bathrooms are, but many of you are guests here, and now you're sitting around thinking, now what, how in the world can I find a bathroom in this place? The good news is that this bathroom added in the back in the vestibule will allow folks to A, not have to go up or down stairs from the sanctuary to go to the bathroom, or B, not have to walk in front of everybody to go out the door to get to the bathrooms on this hall. That's one huge step forward in hospitality as we welcome guests to our church. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but it is a big deal. In fact, all the research that we do on church growth and those kinds of things say that one of the biggest things that turn guests off is accessibility to bathrooms. That's a huge step forward for our worship space as well. There'll also be electrical updates in preparation for the Welcome Center, future HVAC upgrades, etc. And then also included in this are the design and architectural fees for the Welcome Center and future HVAC upgrade plan. What is delayed? Now, this is the hard part, and this is part of what the committee had to struggle with over time, is what to delay and what to do now. The Welcome Center addition is delayed, but we say delayed very intentionally, because for us, it's not a question of if, but when. When the Lord provides and when we can move forward, we want to add that Welcome Center. Once again, that's why we did a master plan before we decided what we wanted to do, so that as time goes on, we can treat that master plan like a menu so we can make additions to our church as time goes on. According to the surveys that we looked at and everything else, the highest priority was for children's and preschool spaces, and we still feel like in the long run, we're going to be able to reach more people and have more immediate ministry impact with the children's facilities than we are with the Welcome Center. That's not saying it's not important. It's not saying that we don't ever want to do it. It's just saying that right now we've had to make matters of priorities. The other thing that will be delayed, obviously, is the Davis elevator, which would be added to the Davis building once we built the Welcome Center addition. The other thing that's delayed is the expansion and deepening of the sanctuary elevator. When we realized the costs that were involved in widening and deepening the elevator right out here, we realized it would not be a good stewardship of the money of this church right now to try to undertake that kind of project. It was very, very expensive, and while we would love to have a larger elevator there, at the same time we recognized that it would be a very expensive thing to do, and that maybe it wouldn't have the biggest payoff for us ministry-wise in the present. So we will be totally refurbishing and renewing the elevator we have. It will stay the same size and it will still reach the same amount of floors, but it will work and it will be effective for the areas we have right now. And the other thing is that we're putting an amount of money in it to where if in the future, if the church really felt like that was a project they wanted to pursue, they certainly would be able to do that later. What is separate? Now, this is kind of an interesting question here. One of the things that's about to become very important is whether or not we can cool our buildings. And if you were a member at First Baptist Church Gadsden last summer, you know that it's nice when we can cool our buildings, because we had a compressor and a motor go out for our chiller. Well, this committee decided to try its best to, when the chiller died, so to speak, to try to replace it with more modern and more up-to-date heating and air. But the costs to do that were very, very expensive. And the reality was that the cost for the actual units themselves was not nearly as expensive as providing electrical service for all the new units. And so it would have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that upgrade right now. So the committee is now recommending that we replace the motor and compressor for the chiller. Now, I say that separate, and the reason why is twofold. The first is that we had a cheaper quote from another company to repair the chiller than the one we got in the bid, so we wanted to save that money. And the second reason is expediency. We would like to have air when it gets hot. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so we're working on that. That was not a vote on the committee. That was just an amen that we'd like to have air when it gets done. What is accomplished in this, though? When we first began this process, what we said was we want to take steps forward, and what we were trying to achieve were steps forward in accessibility, hospitality, and reaching the next generation. Now, we've not done all those perfectly, and we've not gotten everywhere we want to get in all of those areas, but we have taken huge strides forward in each of those areas, in accessibility, hospitality, and reaching the next generation. What is accomplished? We're meeting needs and anticipating future growth in our fastest growing area, children and families. Folks, when we began this process, you'll remember, oftentimes the question would be, oh, is this kind of a if you build it, they will come kind of situation? And I would always say, no, that's not it. We're giving ourselves tools to reach the future generation. But that's not even a valid question anymore, because we recognize we have children here now and we have preschoolers here now in our church who can use these facilities on day one. This is an important tool for us to have. It's not a if we build it, they will come. It's a they have come, we need to build it. And we are quickly moving in that direction. Second thing we see is increased security for our preschool ministry suite. Another thing we see is significant strides in accessibility and hospitality. Strides forward in much needed facilities upgrades. You see, there are many repair and maintenance issues that the church would have had to have incurred no matter what that have been added to this project as time has gone on. We'll be rectifying significant deferred maintenance issues. We'll have heating and cooling available in every area of our campus. We'll have clear paths forward to future projects. And I think we have a fiscally responsible plan that will enhance and not hinder future progress while an element of faith and trust in God's provision remains. Those have been the two sides that we've heard in the committee and that were even represented in the committee, that we want to make sure we are doing something that's very, very financially responsible. We don't want to hang a millstone of debt around the neck of future generations. But there's another school of thought, so to speak, in the church that said, right, but at the same time, we need to act in faith. We need to step out and do something that God is calling us to do and act in faith. Now, this plan is not perfect for each side, but I really do feel like it's a solid compromise between both sides, where we are not only presenting a plan that's fiscally responsible, but also one that leaves an element of faith and trust in the provision of God in the future. What is the cost? Well, the cost for the construction, design, a contingency, furnishings, audiovisual, landscaping, virtually everything we can think of that may come up, the cost that we anticipate is $1.498 million, almost right under $1.5 million. Now, those of you who are good mathematicians know that we are over $900,000 in the bank right now that is able to be spent on this project. We've got about another $400,000 to $450,000 that we plan to bring in through our capital campaign. And so that leaves us short of this amount. The other thing that we'll be looking at is a $49,950 to repair the motor and compressor on the chiller, providing AC for every area of our facilities. The building committee met together with the finance committee to try to come up with the best way to handle this plan financially. Now, I want you to know that the original bid that was received for all of Phase 1 was $3.8 million. So, in other words, this committee has worked hard for several months to reduce the scope of this project by more than half and still achieve all that we're achieving in this situation. We didn't only reduce the scope of what we're doing, we also did a lot to make what we were planning to do already cheaper. And so this committee has done a really good job of keeping costs low. I want to invite Ricky Ray, who's chairman of our finance committee, to come up now and just give you guys the idea of the proposal for how we pay for this plan at this time. Ricky's going to give us that plan. This is coming from the Finance Committee and has been approved by the deacons, and that's part of what we'll vote on in 2 weeks. Ricky?
Thank you. Never seen my name so big before. Kind of scary. Let me update you on the Embracing Our Future campaign. Originally, what pledged was about $770,000. Since then, we've gotten some more pledges in. It's over $790,000 pledged right now. As of end of February, we have a total of $377,000 of that pledged and some non-pledged money in the bank. Plus, since we started this campaign, we sold the Cleveland house, plus we had an auction that most of y'all participated in, and then the elevator fund and building fund, we moved that over into the Embracing Our Future fund. So now we have $470,000 in that fund. Now that still leaves, like Matt said, about $400,000 left of pledged money to come in. But we aren't talking about that today. Today we have $470,000. Now in the Baker and Griffin funds, the Baker fund, is half of her gift went to any whatever the church wanted to do. Another half went to the TV fund, TV ministry. So just the half plus the Griffin gives us a $477,000in the bank, cash in the bank. So we got almost $950,000 in the bank. So that's good. That's a great start, you know. But we're still, what, $550,000 short. So what do we do? Well, there's two things that we can do. One is the Baker Fund money that goes to the TV ministry is now over $500,000+. I talked with Kay Moore, and Kay Moore heads up our TV ministry, and she says, you know, we just can't spend $500,000+ on our TV ministry. We can spend $100,000 and bring it up to speed and do some things and make it really a lot nicer. And we'll still have money left over to be sure it goes forward. So what a great investment, because the finance committee would have to decide where to put that money. So what a great investment would be to invest it in First Baptist Church building. So we decided, the finance committee decided and proposed to the deacons, and they agreed, why don't we borrow that from ourselves until we get all these pledges in? So we're going to do that. That's $400,000 of it. And that only leaves $150,000 that we got to go outside and find to borrow. And I know of a bank that'd probably loan it to us. So I don't think that'll be a problem either. So that adds up to the $1,000,005. What we'll have at the end is we paid cash for everything except for $550,000. Now, we'll still have pledges coming in during this building program that we can apply to the bills that come in. And there'll be other money coming in, I feel sure. But worst case scenario, we borrow $550,000, $400,000 from ourselves, $150,000 somewhere else. And hopefully when all these pledges come in, we'll only have $150,000 left to pay. And I think that we can certainly handle that. But I feel sure that there's going to be some other folks that want to step up and pledge and do something, and we might not even have anything left over to pay at the end of the building project. So the proposal is from the finance committee, and the deacons approve this, is to take the cash we have plus borrow $400,000 from the Baker Fund TV ministry fund, and then $150,000 from elsewhere, and that will take care of the expenditure for the building project.
Well, the next question to ask is, when will we vote? The vote is not today. The vote will be the Sunday after Easter. So 2 weeks from today will be the vote. And that's on Sunday, April 3rd. And that is going to be a balloted vote after church, a special call business meeting for a balloted vote. So the important thing to recognize is that we've discussed this and discussed it and discussed it multiple times. You'll have another opportunity tonight with a question and answer opportunity tonight in the fellowship hall. And our building committee will be there, and Ricky will be there as well to answer any questions anyone has or to talk about some of the nitty-gritty details that some of you may be curious about. But the reality is there's still an element of faith for us to ask God to provide, and there's still, at the same time, we will be in less debt by the end of this project if all of our pledges come in than we were when we started it, than when we started the master planning process, because we then had a loan out on some air conditioners that's been paid off since for this room here. So this is not an unthinkable thing for us as a church, and I commend the building committee and the finance committee both for putting together a plan here that I think honors our past well and embraces our future well. And I'm excited to see how God uses this plan for our ministry going into the future. The important thing to remind us all of, though, is this, that all that money, including the money that we would owe them back to the Baker Fund for the television ministry, will be paid back. We will pay that money back. That's not a using of that money for something that it wasn't intended for. It's a borrowing of it because we can't spend it all now anyway. Borrow it from ourselves and invest it in ourselves. I hope you'll make plans, though, to be back tonight at 5 o'clock for Q&A. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open up to Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. And as you're opening up there to Luke 18, 8, I want to give you just a little bit of a history of what I'm about to preach on here for a few minutes. And a little over 3 years ago, I preached this text Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I preach this text here at First Baptist Church, Gadsden, and the title of the message was, Will He Find Faith at First Baptist? It's no surprise to anyone in this room that First Baptist Church, Gadsden, has been in a process of desiring and praying and asking God to revitalize our church. When I first got here, our church had been declining at about 150 people every 10 years for approximately 30 years. It's kind of where we were as a church. And it's no surprise to any of us, at that time, we were averaging 150 people in worship and Sunday school. In other words, the Lord would have to be very, 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 very kind to us for our church to still be a church in 10 years. So part of that vision that not only I had, but that the church had, was that if we don't reach young families for Christ, if we don't see people come here and be a part of the mission of First Baptist Church, there won't be a First Baptist Church. We will not be here anymore. We'll have to close our doors. I believe better things about this church, though. I'm more excited right now about the future of First Baptist Church Gadsden than I was on my first day as pastor, and that's saying a lot. 2013 wound up, the year I preached this message, that Sunday I preached that message, I had no idea what that year held. Had no idea what that year held, and not many of us did, but it wound up being a tough year for our church. It was a tough year for me. It wound up being one of the hardest years of ministry I've ever had. Part of what I'll talk about today is that we ought to hold everything with an open hand before God. And that year I learned a lot of things that I had in a much tighter fist than I thought I did. But today I want to revisit this question as we move forward on this, and I want to use it as a challenge to us all to embrace the future that Christ has planned for us. Let me just read to you Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Talking about those who do not receive justice yet are called by Christ. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? That's a rhetorical question for the church, because we know, we believe in the church triumphant. We see in the book of Revelation the fact that when Jesus returns, there are faithful people left on earth. He calls them home to be with Himself. But that is not rhetorical for every question, for every church. For many churches, it's not rhetorical, for not every church lasts until Jesus returns. So the question becomes, not only will He find faith on earth, we know He will, but will He find faith at First Baptist? Will we remain a genuine gospel witness in the years to come? It's the question of the day. Do we have to do this project to obey God? Of course not. Of course not. Of course, I'm not going to stand here and say, God has said we must do this. We're Baptists. We have one authority as to the Scriptures. So no plan that ultimately is devised by man ought to coerce the conscience of any person on earth. Only one thing binds our consciences, and that is the Word of God. And so good Christian godly people have every single right to be opposed to this proposal. There's no question about that. But the question is this: could it help embrace our future? Of course it could. Do we sense as a church and as a majority of the church and as a committee, do we sense the Lord's leading in this whole process? Absolutely, we do. Since I've been your pastor, it's been my singular goal in life to see us embrace the mission that God has given us with passion and abandon, to meet our potential. Every time I walk in this building, every time I have lunch with someone to tell them about First Baptist Church, every time I walk into a committee meeting, every time I walk into a deacon's meeting, every time I stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God to you, one word is often on my mind, and that is the word potential. What could God do with these people at this time? And the answer is tremendous things. In biblical terms, we have been given much, and much is required of us. In that sermon, we said three things. First, Jesus is coming. Hold everything with an open hand. If the gospel is God's ultimate plan for the universe, if it's the center of our church, then that is the only thing we ought to have in our fist when it's clenched. Only the gospel. I've seen the way that Jesus has continued to shape us in this way. We've handled a lot of change and we've handled a lot of it well. Knowing that Christ is Lord and we are changing for His sake. Some of it we've decided to do as a church. Some of it has happened to us by providence. But I've seen the way that you have handled change for the glory of Christ in godly ways. I rejoice in this. But now's the time that we continue to press into this idea. Everyone has their own opinions about what ought to be done in a church, in a building. At any time, any given moment, we all have our opinions on how things ought to be handled. But the reality is that this process has been handled according to the way our church does business. It's been handled by many godly and thoughtful and intelligent people. We have a plan that is excellent in our hands. Are you willing then to express your disagreement, if you have it, in the meantime, until the church votes, and then say with humility, I understand that I don't support it, but I will, once the church has decided, I will support it, I will not work against it. That is the attitude of godliness. And if you are a supporter of the plan, are you willing then to continue to sacrifice in order to see it happen? Not so that we can say we've done great things in our buildings, but so that we can be good stewards of all that God has given us in our facilities, so that we can then be stewards of the gospel in these facilities for years to come. Jesus is coming. Hold everything with an open hand. Jesus is coming. Do not lose heart. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. The building committee almost lost heart when the bids were opened, right? You've never seen a group of people more dejected in your life. But by the end of that meeting, we had talked with the architect and said, we have a way forward. We have a way to do this. There is a way to preserve this plan. 3 years ago, I asked this question. I asked these questions. Will we have passed the torch? Will we have molded all that we do around conviction? Will we have a robust witness for His gospel in Gadsden and beyond? Will we have been faithful stewards of the tremendous message and opportunity that we have been given? Will we have stood strong on the infallible, inerrant Word of God and trusted what He has told us? Will He find faith at First Baptist Church? Brothers, think on those things. Sisters, consider what God might do through us rather than finding ourselves disappointed by what things look like today. Let us not lose heart and press forward. Think about the opportunity that has been laid before us. Jesus is coming again, and when He comes, will He find faith at First Baptist? If He does, it will be because His people have not lost heart in the process. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in Jesus. Third point was this: Jesus is coming. Do not stop praying. As I mentioned, the year that I first preached this sermon, I did not realize how many things I was holding tightly in my own hands. Success, having everybody on the planet like me, everything going just like I want it to go. It was the hardest year of ministry I've ever had. I know for many of you, it was a very hard year of church for you. What though sustained us? It wasn't your preacher. I got depressed and grew a beard and still haven't gotten rid of it, you know? What sustained us? Was it not the very presence of God? Was it not that we knew God had plans for us no matter whether we were having a bad year or not? Has it not been our persistence in prayer? Has it not turned out to be such a clear blessing to our church? Think of the past several months and the way God has answered our prayers. Think of the way that attendance has been rising and the way that God has shown His kindness to us in so many ways. And we have just been dedicated to praying, to asking God to move among us. Isn't it crazy to think how surprised we are sometimes that God will answer? Nothing will sustain us but God. Not our church, not our buildings. Nothing will sustain us but God. By my word and by my spirit, says the Lord. We must be a people who are vigilant in prayer, lest we think that which we build with our hands sustain us, when instead it is that which God builds with His hands that sustains us. God and God alone. Lest we come to think that our own works and our own hands are sufficient for the task at hand. I say this so simply and as clearly as I know to say. You do not have to do this to be faithful to Christ. But I do believe our church is at a crossroads as a church. And this is the time for us to move forward. Not waiting on that great thing to happen that we've been waiting on for so long. And that's when we'll get going. But to say, God is already at work among us. Let us go where He is leading us. Let us embrace this with all of our hearts. I hope and pray that will be your heart and consideration. Brothers and sisters, now is the time for us to say yes to the question, will he find faith at First Baptist? Yes is our answer. Will we be faithful to the call to reach the next generation? Yes and amen is our answer. Will he find faith at First Baptist? Brothers and sisters, I believe so. Not because of us, but because of Him who is faithful and will be not just for another 160 years and will be not just for another 1,000 years, but trillions and trillions and trillions of years from now, bright shining as the sun. Jesus will be just as faithful then as He was today. He will get us where we need to go. I offer an invitation to you today. First, you may not know Jesus at all. If you don't, if you would trust in Him, put your faith in Him and repent of your sins, He'll be faithful to save you today. We've talked a lot about buildings and everything else, but what we're primarily about is Jesus. Every once in a while we have to stop and do this kind of thing, but really, ultimately, we're about the gospel here. Second of all, you may be looking for a church home. I want you to know, if you come down forward today, I would love to talk with you about what it means for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. We are a church on mission for Christ. We're a church pressing into our future. We are anxious to see what God has in store. Perhaps He's calling you to be a part of what He's doing here. Finally, you may be a believer who just needs to pray. Brothers and sisters, I don't think it would be shameful at all for many of us to be in the altar praying today, asking God for guidance, asking the Lord to show us what we ought to do. I open this altar to every believer here. And if you need someone to pray with you, I'll be available as well. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You so much for all that He's given us. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to Him in the meantime. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.